I believe God gave David, as a young man, the greatest gift of all in this life. I'm thinking of my own self when I went down to Florida to work for a summer between my year at BBC, and I was a transfer student went there, and then I went to Florida to work for a summer putting in underground water sprinkler systems to make money for college. I worked my way through college. And while I was down there, I went to a church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, King James Bible, and still is. And I went there, and I remember going to a banquet one night, and I went alone. There were couples there, young couples there, and so forth. I went alone to that banquet, and was new down there, college student, and I just stood up to give my testimony, at that banquet. And there was a young lady there whose heart just went out to me. It just knitted, her heart knitted to me. And it was never the same after that. That was a gift of God to me. I didn't even realize what was going on that night. But now as I look back, I realize next to salvation, that was the greatest gift of God in my life. And with that in mind, I'd like to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 1. And that's my text tonight. 1 Samuel 18, 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And so as a result of God knitting the heart of Jonathan to David after David won that victory over Goliath, and David came and appeared before his father, as a result of God uniting Jonathan's soul to his friend David that day, he was willing to give David five things that really showed his great love for David, his God-given love. And I would like to preach on what Jonathan's friendship with David means for you. What Jonathan's friendship for David means for you. The first thing such friendship means is the giving up of the robe. Go to 18:4, and there it says, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." The first thing that such friendship means is the giving up of the robe. Now I think of the prodigal son when he left the father and he went out and sold his goods. And he came back broke and he came back totally devastated. And the father said, "Bring the robe and put it on him." And that robe signified that I am giving my son his former standing in the family. I think of Joseph, who was given the robe of many colors, and it stood for his place of leadership in the family. And the robe represented his place of authority, his place of leadership. I also know when a Jewish boy went from being a minor to being an adult, they had a presentation. And the boy would go to the judgment seat in the city, which was called the Bema seat in the Greek. And the father would go with the son, who was going to be from a minor now to a major, now to an adult. And he would say, the father would say, "Today my son inherits my wealth. He inherits my social standing." Now that's what the word in the Bible, adoption, means. It really means in the Bible, "Today my son goes from being a minor to being a major with the rights and privileges, the adult privileges that go with it as a son of a father who had no rights as a minor child. So when Jonathan gave his robe to David, he was saying, David, I want to give you my rank in the kingdom. I'm going to inherit the throne. I want to give you, David, my throne. I give that to you freely, my position, my throne, my great place in the kingdom. I give it up to you. And you know what? He really meant that. And through his life, his father despised him for that. His father did not understand that. Don't be surprised if people close to you don't understand your love for the Lord. They don't understand your commitments to God. They'll misunderstand that oftentimes. But nevertheless, Jonathan had that God-given knitting of his heart to David, and he was willing to give up his throne to David. The second thing such friendship means, notice, is the giving up of the garments. Not only his robe, but his garments. Now, he said, you know, Jonathan said to David, you are my God-given friend. My heart is bound to your heart. I see kingly greatness in you, and I give up my kingdom to you. I see in you great courage and great willingness to fight and to stand for what's right and to stand alone. And so I give you my military garments. And that was his uniform. Jonathan gave up to David his uniform in the army of Israel, because David didn't have that. He was the shepherd boy. But he certainly had the courage and the victory. And Jonathan said, he needs to get my uniform. And, you know, when a person in the military, they put on the sergeant stripes, there's great pride in that, great accomplishment in that. When they put on medals like the Bronze Star or the Purple Heart, somebody said the Purple Heart is the hardest medal to get. I wouldn't want that one because you have to be injured to get that one. But nevertheless, Jonathan said, I give you my medals. I give you my military honors. And what a wonderful thing that is. I remember when we got married, my wife had a bunch of books. And some of those books I liked. They were theological books that she got in college. And she gave them to me. She willingly gave them to me. What a heart. And that's the second thing, giving up of one's garments. And then I see here a third thing in verse 4 that Jonathan was willing to give up to David. It's the giving up of his sword. Notice it said that he gave up his sword. Now, for that, turn back to chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, and I'll read verse 22. Chapter 13 and verse 22. And it says there, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. There were only two swords in all of Israel. The Philistines had not allowed the Israelites to have a sword. They weren't allowed to have a blacksmith. And so the Philistines managed the sharpening of their axes and their coulters, which were the equivalent of gardening tools or farming tools, and they were under the Philistine authority. They were not allowed to have a sword. Now, I think of the Second Amendment. Jesse, would you be willing to give up your guns? I don't think so. But you know what? Jonathan was saying, I've got the Second Amendment. I've got the guns. I've got the weapon. I can defend myself and my family. But I'm giving that up to David. I'm giving that up to David. David is the one that I love and that I trust. And I'm giving that sword to him. And he did. He gave up his sword. And that is the ability to defend yourself. He gave it up. And Jonathan said, take my robe, that's my throne and my kingdom. Take my military medals and uniforms. Take my honors, I give them up to you. Take my sword, which was a great blessing. And then there is a fourth thing that he gave up. And I want you to notice it was he gave up his bow. So as you read the Bible, you find that Jonathan took great pride and delight in his ability with a bow and arrow. I mean, he was good with a bow. He was good with the arrow. And his bow was his prized possession. In fact, I would say, as some people say, it was probably his most prized possession that he had. And when he saw David, because of the love he had for David, the God-given love, and because his heart went out to David, he said, I'm going to give up my bow, my most prized possession, to David. He just wanted to show how much he cared. And so here is David, the hero of the whole nation. Here is David, when nobody else dared to go up against Goliath, David said, I'll go up against Goliath. I'll take a slingshot. I'll take 5 stones. And I'll go up against Goliath. And he went and he got the victory and hit Goliath in the head with one of those stones. And Goliath went down, almost 10 feet tall, a giant. David pulled out Goliath's sword. He had no sword. And he cut Goliath's head off. He grabbed him by the hair and he took his bloody head and he brought it to Saul, the king of Israel, and said, there it is. What a guy. What a godly young man. And Jonathan saw the heart for God David had, and his heart just went out to him. He said, my heart is like your heart. My soul is like your soul. I identify with you, but I see something great in you. And so he even gave him his girdle. Now, what's his girdle? It's something that held everything together. It held the bow on him. It held the sword. It held all the garments. Everything was held together by his girdle. And he gave that up. So what he was saying is, David, I give it all to you. I just find my love for you is so great. My appreciation for you is so great. I'm just going to give you my robe, which is my very kingdom that I would inherit. And I want you to have it. He really wanted him to have it. I want to give to you, David, my military honors. You deserve all the honors. I've gotten honors and accolades as the king's son, and he fought in battles. Jonathan was a great soldier. I give that to David. And I just give to David, you know, all these things. I give to David my sword. Only 2 swords. And he gave his sword up to David. And he said, I'm going to give it to you. And I give you my bow, my most prized possession. So when he gave him the girdle, he was saying, I just give it all to you, David. I give it all to you. Remember when the rich young ruler was told, sell all that you've got and give it up and follow me? And he said, oh no, I can't do that. Because he really didn't love the Lord. He loved money. He loved money. And Jonathan, you see, he gave it all up to the Lord. So we're talking tonight about what Jonathan's friendship with David means for you. And it should mean giving up the robe, your place of authority, your kingly blessings. And it means giving up your honors. It means giving up something that is very precious to you, your right to defend yourself. And it means giving up all of these things and your most prized possession, whatever that may be, you're willing to give that up. And so I'm talking to you tonight on 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. It says, it came to pass when he made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. What does Jonathan's friendship with David mean to you? And I want to end up by saying, I believe the main thing that this should mean to you tonight is that you are to have a love for, an appreciation for, the son of David. If Jonathan could give all these things up to David because he slew Goliath, how much more should you do that for the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, David went up against Goliath with a stone and defeated him. But Jesus defeated Satan and our greatest enemies with a wood, with a cross, where he was nailed to that cross. And Jesus, the son of David, rolled away the stone and came out of the grave alive. And Jesus, the son of David, he is now, as I speak to you tonight, at the right hand of God. And what's he doing up there at the right hand of God? He is waiting until the Father said, now take the throne of David. Take the throne of David that I promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And he's just waiting until he's going to make his enemies his footstool. And so I'm just saying, he is the greater son of David, that our hearts should go out to him tonight for what he's done. As we had the Lord's table and we think about Sunday night, you know, what he did for us. And he was saying, I desire to be here. I desire to die for you. I desire to go up against your enemies. And I desire to go in battle and win against your. And that's exactly what he did. He won. I'm so thankful Jesus isn't a loser. It looked to the world like this is ridiculous. It looked to Goliath like this was ridiculous. Who is this teenager coming out of me with sticks and stones? They're not going to break my bones. I'm a military giant. I'll crush you. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Israelite man. Be he alive or be dead, I'll crush his bones and make my bread. Basically, that's what he said. He mocked David. And David said, you may mock me, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And they may have mocked Jesus. They may have thought he was nothing to contend with. But he came in the name of God. And he gave himself on that cross to pay for our sin. And I tell you, your heart should go out to him. Your heart, by the Spirit of God, tonight should go out to him. And you should be a David lover, a son of David lover. You should love the Messiah, who is the seed of David, who is the King of Israel, and the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Because look at how he got his kingdom. Look what he had to go through. And David, you know, he went through that. I think people respect the president. I heard an interview with Elon Musk recently. And Elon Musk said that, you know, when he'd already decided, because of the courage of Trump, because of the indomitable spirit of Trump, that he would change and that he would now vote for Trump. He said, I was already going to do it. But when he took that assassin's bullet, and he went down and he got up and said, fight, 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 with blood streaming down his face. He said, I just decided I want to do it right now. I don't want to wait. His heart went out to Donald Trump. But there's a greater than Donald Trump here. As I said at the rally, he went down on the stage and got back up and said, fight. But our Savior went all the way down into the grave. He went all the way down into death. And then he went all the way into hell. And he came back up again. Amen. Up from the grave he arose. What a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose, the victor, from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Listen, tonight you've got no reason to be down in the mouth. You've got no reason to be discouraged tonight. You have a hero of heroes, a king of kings, a lord of lords. He's a winner. He's victorious. And you should be willing to give him all your honors. You should be willing to give him all your money. You should be willing to give him everything, my friend. The throne of your life, the throne of your heart. Give it to him who did what you're greater than David has done. And this is what the friendship of Jonathan and David should mean to us if he did all of that for us. You see, David was attacked because he was anointed by God. Jonathan saw the anointing, and Jonathan loved him. Jonathan didn't attack him. Jonathan was willing to give up his throne, willing to give up his honors, his military honors, willing to give up his sword, his Second Amendment for self-defense, willing to give up everything, his bow, his arrows. He was willing to give that up for David because he saw the anointing of God upon him. And he became a friend and a lover of David. But sadly, Saul, his father, did not appreciate David. He saw him as a threat to his own power. He saw him as a threat to his own selfish goals. He saw him as a threat to himself. And what a sad thing that is, that he fought against David and he hated David and he set about to try to kill David. You know, I get that. I get that, the same message that people bless God for, and they come up to me and say, "Thank you, Pastor. God bless me. Thank you. You preached that message. I needed that." The same pastor, same messages. Other people come up and say, "I hate you. I don't like what you're preaching. I wouldn't even be in your church. I don't want to be around you." You see, there's two reactions. And what reaction are you going to have tonight? I thank God for my wife and the reaction she had for my testimony. And she said, "That guy has my heart. That is my heart. That is the guy that I want." And she didn't even know me, but she knew that. And she was bound to that. Now, people in his family didn't understand it. His father didn't understand. Don't expect everybody to understand you. Don't expect everybody to understand your love for Jesus. Don't expect everybody to understand. Like Diane said, better is God's family if it's family that doesn't know God and doesn't care about God. Because that family's not going with you to heaven unless they get saved. That family is not going to go to heaven. I hope they do. I pray they do. Of course, we want them to. But you're not going to get them by going down to that. Jonathan never went down to Saul. He never gave up his loyalty to David. You say, "Pastor, what do you appreciate more than anything else in the church? People that are loyal. People that are loyal." I appreciate loyalty because I've seen so much disloyalty. Remember, Judas didn't really love Jesus, so he was disloyal. And he betrayed him with a kiss. I've been betrayed by people that God allows to get close to me. And that should never be. It should never be. We should never do that for men of God. We should never do soul winners. If you can't say nothing good about a soul winner, don't say anything at all. I'm just saying, be loyal. Be faithful to the fruit trees. And be like Jonathan was. He was willing to give it all up because of his love for David. And if he could do that for David, can't you do that for the son of David? Can't you realize how great he is? You know, people have given up a lot for Donald Trump. People have what's called Trump derangement syndrome. And they've given up close friendships. They've given up close partnerships because they say, "No, this man touched my life. I thought it a great blessing. I got to pray for Trump's rally and meet with him and have my picture with him. And I don't care what friends don't like me for that. I know God raised up this man, anointed this man, and I know what's going on now is super duper wonderful for the United States. And I'm rah, rah, rah behind it." But how much greater should I love Jesus? How much greater should I relate to the King of Kings that's not going to just bless the United States, but bless the world with His great reign in the kingdom age? He's going to reign over this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So don't be afraid to stand up for Him now. Don't be afraid to give your tithes and offerings to Him now. Some people, they try to hold back on their tithes. They try to rob God. That is so foolish. That is so stupid. And you know what's even more than that? They try to rob God of His time. His time, because time is more precious than money. Where you spend your time. And people say, I'm not willing to give up my time for Jesus. I'm not willing to go out on a Thursday night and to train with somebody and go out a witness. I'm not willing to do that on a Saturday. I'm not willing to get involved in that. Oh, that's not Jonathan's heart. He was willing to give up his throne. And he was willing to give up the reign of his own life. That is his own treasure, his own time. He gave it all for David. And even though Jonathan was very wealthy and had a very great cushy situation in Israel, he said, oh, I've got my father. He's the king, but he lacks that anointing. I see David as the hero. I see David as the man of God. And he gave it all up for him. How about you? Do you see that? And are you willing to go with men of God who are going with the God of the Word and follow with them and walk with them and fight with them and be loyal? If you're holding back and you're trying to keep it to yourself, that is foolish. I get attacked and I get slandered for going point, for fighting the Lord's battles. And I appreciate those that stay loyal to the man of God through the years and have served the man of God. I appreciate that in our deacons. I appreciate that in the families of the deacons. I appreciate that in our youth pastor and his family. And I say that we should be willing to give it all up for Jesus. Are you feeling stingy with the Lord? Are you feeling like, oh, I don't want to give it up for the Lord? That's not Jonathan's heart. His friendship with David was so great that he was willing to give these things up. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but it's a story. I'll end with it. There was a very poor man in India. And basically, he was so poor, he just had a bowl of rice. And he was eating that bowl of rice. And he was sitting by the roadside, and he saw in the distance a caravan coming toward him with the bowl of rice. And he looked and he said, ah, that is the Raja of India. Oh, he's got glory and wealth. Perhaps he'll come by here and he'll give me a gift. Wouldn't that be great? He'll see I'm a poor man and he'll want to give me something. And so he waited and the Raja's caravan came by. And sure enough, it stopped right in front of him. He was like, oh man, his heart started beating. The Raja got up, descended from his highest place upon the top of the caravan and came right up to that poor man. And he said, sir, would you give me a little bit of your rice? And he thought to himself, as he muttered in his beard, why, you crook, you're the wealthiest man in India. I'm one of the poorest. And you're coming up and asking me for a little bit of rice? You've got the finest food. What is this? But he felt obligated. There's the Raja. So he took one grain of rice and he gave it to him. And the Raja said, thank you. Could I have a little bit more? He said, what is this guy? A little bit more from me. He said, I'll give him another grain. And he resented every moment. And he was cursing him under his breath. And he gave another grain of rice. And he took it. And the Raja ate it. he went to leave, and the caravan went down the road, and the man went back to eating his bowl of rice, and he stuck his hand in there, and as he stuck his hand in there, there was a huge gold coin. Today, gold by the ounce is worth $3,000+. I just checked it out tonight. But not only that, he had another huge gold coin. And remember, he gave 2 grains of rice worth thousands of dollars. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive, nor can you outlove his love for us. He just wants us to respond like Jonathan did to David when it comes to David's greater son, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, who gave it all for you. And you know, someday, you who are believers, you'll stand before him at the Bema. And the only thing that will be golden that you'll have to give him is the time you gave to him now, is the treasure that you gave to him now, is the talents, whatever he's given you, that you give to him now. I appreciate different talents in this body and different spiritual gifts. And I appreciate anybody that's using that to serve God. And I always want to encourage you. Think of how the Lord encourages you and will reward you and bless you. And you'll give him a reason to bless you, because that's what he wants to do. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about Jonathan and what his friendship to David means to you. And I wonder how your friendship has been with Jesus.